Whenever I was a child and my mother sent me to the store and she had a list of things for me to buy, I would walk to the store. It was usually related to snacks or something, you know, we're kids, so we got to go get a treat, but she didn't want to go get it, so she sent us. We had a list. We were not allowed to do anything, to buy anything except for what was on that list. And we couldn't vary from it. We went and got what was on there and we came home. Even though the list had things that we wanted on it, we didn't change our mind. We didn't go up there. It said Dr. Pepper. We didn't go up and buy a Coke. We went up and bought a Dr. Pepper. We would not even consider the idea of buying something different because Mama said to do this. And so we did. And we'd go get it and we'd come back home. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. David wrote, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" In this episode, I want to explore the idea of how we work against God, because I'm convinced we can do it and not even realize it. But in talking about this, we need to deal with the obvious question: how is it that we work against him? But before we can even answer that, we also need to think about another question. That is it even possible to work against him? Now, there are some people who say that it's impossible to work against God, and in a sense, that's the truth. It is impossible for us to work against him. I mean, we can try, but he already knows what we're going to do. So he's going to win in the end, no matter what anyone else does. And that really is the point. God is going to win. And it doesn't matter what we do. If we intentionally even try to throw a monkey wrench in the problem, we don't have the resources or the intelligence or anything really that would work against God, because he already knows what's going to happen from the very beginning to the very end. He's already seen it all. He already knows it all. And so there's no way that we can surprise God and do something that would cause him to change direction of the way he's going. But on the other hand, there is a very real sense in which we can work against God, and we do, because he will allow it to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to catch him off guard. It just means that he has a plan, and from our perspective, that plan may shift because of decisions that we make. Now, he already knows what's going to happen, so that's how he created the plan to begin with. But from our perspective, it looks like there's going to be a shift. And when we consider free will, this is one of those topics that it sounds very, very simple, but the more you think and ask questions about it, the more difficult it becomes to understand and explain, because we're finite. We live in the here and now. We live in we're present tense all the time, but we have a past and a future. But God is present tense all the time. He doesn't have a past and future, because past and future doesn't exist in eternity. There's no such thing as time in eternity. So when God created time and he put us in time, that means that we're bound to it, we're subject to it, and we can't think in ways that are outside. We can conceptualize it, but we really can't understand it. And so when we're talking about how we can actually work against God, we need to just recognize the fact that he allows us the free will to make decisions. And that is something that the Bible teaches. The very fact that we can make a decision shows that we have free will. Now, the popular mentality today in the scientific realm, and even in some religious circles, is to say that we have absolutely no free will, that we have destiny, that we're already bound. The choices that we make they're just illusions of choice, that we are already going to make the choices that we're going to make. But I would remind you that the knowledge of something, it does not mean that it's the endorsement of something, or the knowledge that of the future doesn't necessarily mean that the future is set by the one who knows it. So God may know something is going to happen, but that doesn't mean that he made it happen that way. And that, like I said, it kind of boggles the mind to think about, but that's what we have to consider. You know, one of the ways you could do that is if I had a dog that every time I opened the door would bolt out of the house, then I would know that when I opened that door, that dog was going to bolt out of the house. I'm not making the dog bolt out of the house. I'm, however, opening the door, and that is allowing that decision to be made. And so even though I may know the future, that doesn't mean that I'm controlling it. And so that's one way you can look at it with God. But the fact is that we do work against God. Satan works against God. And there are a lot of ways that we can come up with that to work against him. And the reason I'm talking about that is because if we're aware of it, then we can change it. I came up with 6 ways that we can actually work against him. First one is the pretty obvious one. That would be choosing to live in rebellion against God. This is someone who may recognize or may even decide they don't want to recognize that God exists. And so they just live in however they want to live. And they're not concerned with anything that God would say or anything that anyone else would say, for that matter. The second one would be people living outside of the knowledge of God and his word. So they're not necessarily in rebellion against God. They just don't really know what he wants. And so they may recognize that there is a God. They may even want to do what is right, generally speaking, but they just are unaware. They just don't know. And that there is some kind of perhaps rebellion that's in there, or they would learn more and more. But, you know, we've probably all been there at some point at that place where we just don't know what the Bible says. And so we have to learn. Then the third way that we can work against God is through selfish desires. So we start justifying. We know what the truth is. We know that what God generally wants from us, but we start, because of our own desires, we start to justify lack of effort. And then we start justifying the things that we're doing that are wrong, right? So when we look at our desires, we do what we want to do. And if those desires don't match up with God's, then we're not going to do what he wants. We're going to do what we want. Another way that we work against God is by following a crowd to do evil. And this is, we get sucked up into it. We may know what's right and wrong. We may generally do the right thing, but sometimes when we get into a crowd situation, sometimes that pulls out parts of us out that we didn't even realize were there, and we're influenced to do. That's called mob mentality, and we've seen it. People will do things they would never normally do outside of a mob. But when they're in that mob, they are just energized by it, encouraged by it. They see everyone else doing the same thing, and things get out of hand very quickly. So that's the way some people work against God. Another way would be to be unaware of what God wants in a specific situation. And that's a lot more common, because we don't always know how things are going to work out. We might know what God is going to do. We might see that he made us promises. You know, for example, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." The things he was talking about there was mainly the food that we need to eat and the things that we need to put on, you know, clothing and shelter and food. And so he said that he would take care of it. If we put him first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then God will make sure that we have everything that we need in order to survive and live. But we don't always see how that's going to happen. And sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And so we, being unaware of how God's going to make it work out, we just work against him. Another way that we could do that is we're aware of what he wants, but not how he wants us to do it. Now, that sounds very similar to what I was saying before, but the difference here is, in one sense, there are things that he's going to do that we don't know how he's going to accomplish it. So we try to help him out, so to speak, and we may do something wrong in the process. Think about Abraham and Sarah when they tried to help God out by having, you know, Sarah gave Abraham Hagar to have a child with, thinking that, okay, well, we're going to have a child somehow, so we'll just, you know, I'll just give my servant to my husband, and that's what Sarah was thinking, and we'll just make this work. And Abraham agreed, and that's where Ishmael came from. Well, that was trying to help God out. But another way of looking at it here, this next point, is that we're aware of what he wants, but we don't know how to go about doing it. So this would be, for example, he may have told us what to do, but we're not really thinking in terms of the specifics of what he said. So, for example, when we come to worship, we come and we sing. The scriptures plainly lay out for us, this is what I want. But because of we don't recognize what God wants in that particular situation, we're going to perhaps do a lot of other things, maybe even in addition to that, but we're going to do all kinds of other things instead of that or with it when he specifically said something. So an example of that would be somebody adding instrumental music. Whenever I was a child and my mother sent me to the store and she had a list of things for me to buy, I would walk to the store. It was usually related to snacks or something, you know, we're kids, so we got to go get a treat, but she didn't want to go get it, so she sent us. We had a list. We were not allowed to do anything, to buy anything except for what was on that list, and we couldn't vary from it. We went and got what was on there and we came home, even though the list had things that we wanted on it. We didn't change our mind. We didn't go up there. It said Dr. Pepper. We didn't go up and buy a Coke. We went up and bought a Dr. Pepper. We would not even consider the idea of buying something different because Mama said to do this. And so we did, and we'd go get it, and we'd come back home. Well, that's a very similar idea, that God tells us this is what I want, and we may not realize, we may not be aware, and some people, you know, in ignorance will do things not realizing that God has already specified. And when he specifies something, that's exactly how we should do it. So that's another way that we can try to work against God. And okay, so what is it that we can do then to keep from working against God? There are a few things that come up. Now, this is obviously not going to be about people who are in open rebellion against God because they don't care. They're going to do what they're going to do. But those of us who are Christians, we're wanting to grow, we're wanting to be better, we're wanting to improve our lives, we want to improve our relationship with God. How can we make sure that we're not working against him, even when we think that we're not? You know, there are people that are doing things that are wrong, and they don't even realize they're doing it. So there are three basic ideas, and you could probably add to that. In fact, if you want to add to this, or you have questions, please contact me. You can email me. My email address is hope.preacher@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, and you know, I can answer any questions you have to the best of my ability, and we can start a conversation that way. So if you have any thoughts, just let me know. But the first one would be to make sure that we continue learning and growing. We're looking at the scriptures, we're doing the best we can, we have some kind of a plan in action to make sure that we're learning and we're putting it into practice, and we need to learn to ask questions. And one of the best questions that we can ask when we're studying the Bible is, what does God want from me right now? Based on this scripture, what does God want? And when we are in situations, we need to start asking the question. You know, don't just assume that what we're doing is right just simply because we're the ones doing it. That's really easy for us to do. So we're in a situation, especially if it's new, but even the old ones, ask the question now and then, what does God want me to do? What scripture would I use to tell me this is what God wants? What promises has God made? What statements has God made? What things can I think of that were implications that are implied that I should be acting in a certain way in this situation? We're not going to be perfect at it, but if we keep asking those kinds of questions, what happens is our brain starts shifting from what do I want to do and attribute it to what God wants. From that, it goes to, what does God want me to do in this specific situation? And I'm going to look into that and try to find out what God wants instead of what I want. We need then to be in habits of study. We also, though, need to be in habits of attending Bible classes, discussions. We need people in our lives who will challenge us to see the Bible, to learn new things. That's why we need to have discussions. That's why iron sharpens iron. That's why we have Bible classes or you know, worship times together so that we can have sermons. These things challenge us to think about the scriptures in better ways. And just digging in yourself, you can learn a lot, but sometimes we need that extra help. We all need it. The second one relates to waiting. So we may be aware of what God wants to happen, but we're not really sure how he's going to pull it off. We're not really sure, you know, what things are going to take place. And so instead of jumping out and doing something wrong, we ought to wait and see what happens. Now, waiting is difficult, and sometimes it's the only thing that we can do. But sometimes we don't need to wait. I tell people often that sometimes what we need to do is to act and not worry about getting it wrong. Now, obviously, I'm not saying to jump into sin and do things that are sinful. Not everything is a matter of good and evil, right? Sometimes it's a matter of better, good, better, and best. And so in those kinds of situations, we need to be willing to act. And we need to not worry about whether or not we get it wrong. Because if we just second guess ourselves all the time, we're never going to do anything. On the other hand, if we are not thoughtful in the decisions that we make, then we can step into sin and not even realize it. So this one of these kinds of things where, you know, it's a kind of catch-22 in some ways. For example, you know, how do you get experience? Well, you get experience by doing things. But if you don't ever have the opportunity to do things, then you can't get the experience. So if you go and try to find a job, your first job, they ask you how much experience do you have, and you can't get a job if you don't have experience. So how do you get the experience? Well, you got to get a job. So it's kind of a catch-22 in that sense. For the Christian, it's not like that exactly, but it is close. It is similar. At least it seems that way sometimes. So in order for us to find out what to do, sometimes we got to step out and do it. And then we might learn, oh, I should have waited, right? But we can't spend the rest of our lives second-guessing everything. So how do you balance that? I think you have to consider, you have to think quickly, what do we know that God has already said? Pay attention to the words that he used, and then consider the promises and things and try to act in a way that's not going to detract from that. But if you have the opportunity, or you're in a situation where you need to wait, make sure that while you're waiting, you're preparing to do what needs to be done. Now, when I say to act now, to act quickly, I don't mean to act by instinct. I don't, you know, especially at first, I don't mean that you act without thought, but I am saying don't let yourself get so bound by the patience idea that we are become, quote unquote, too patient, that we're waiting too long and we're really just afraid to step out in faith. You need to overcome that. But there are times when you're going to have to wait, and they should be pretty obvious times that you see. There's sometimes there's nothing you can do, but you just got to wait for things to work out the way that they can, because you really have no options going forward, or you're waiting on someone else to make decisions, all kinds of things related to that. I want to tell you a story about this. There, back in the 1980s and 70s, there were a lot of people going around talking about Russia and the Iron Curtain, and lots of prayers going up. And even before that, you know, the 60s and the 50s even, people were praying about Russia and the Iron Curtain, and that they would allow the people to have freedom. And there, it was a very big push in churches to pray for the freedom of the Russian people, because the Soviet Union had an iron clasp, you know, they just ruled with an iron fist, and it was not a good situation. There were a lot of people starving. There were a lot of things that were going bad. A lot of people who were called dissidents were being put into prisons. All kinds of things were happening. You can just look it up, and if you're not aware of it. But the interesting thing is, people would go around in the church and talk about how we need to be ready. We're going to pray for the Iron Curtain to come down, and that way we can send missionaries in there. And people were even saying, I want to go over there. When the Iron Curtain comes down, we're finally able to let people come and visit. I want to go in there and preach. And the thing is when the Iron Curtain finally fell, there was hardly anyone ready to go. So we were all talking about and praying about the situation and hoping that God would act quickly. And then when he did act, we had no one really that was preparing himself to go over there and do that kind of work. They weren't learning the languages. They knew some about the history, but that was about it. And so we were not prepared for that. We need to be sure that when we're facing challenges and situations and we're waiting, that we're preparing while we're waiting. Waiting is not sitting and doing nothing. Waiting is preparing ourselves for what's about to happen. Just want to put that out there for you. Also, we need to make sure that we strengthen our faith. That'll be the third thing. Strengthen your faith in God. That's going to come from the Word. So we get the Word into our heart, into our lives, which is what I've already said. You need to have regular study habits. You need to be getting around other people who know the Bible. You need to be around other people who are teaching the Bible and challenging you to learn. But faith is not just learning the Word of God. Faith comes from understanding the Word and living it out in a wise fashion. So you need to get around people who not only know the Word, but actually know how to use the Word, know how to put it into practice. And you'll know them by their fruits. So if they're developing the fruit of the Spirit, you see them, they have the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that God requires of all of his people, then if they've developed that, they probably know how to help you develop that. So get around them and learn from them. Soak up all that you can, because faith without works is dead. But faith also is not just putting it into practice. It must lead to a conviction. So you need to get a strong belief. You need to be able to stand firmly on what you know to be true and be able to stand even when people oppose you. Because sometimes we back off when we're afraid people are going to oppose us. We can live it, but then we don't live it whenever things get tough. So we need to develop a conviction that only comes through experience and practice. It only comes through putting yourself out there in situations where you have to use your faith and stand on it, rely on your faith in God, and that will develop. It's growth. And also remember that faith is active. It always will be active. So like I said before about waiting, waiting is not sitting and doing nothing. Waiting is also active. And if you put those three things into practice, you have that continued learning and growth. You have the decisiveness of getting out and doing things, even if that means recognizing that you need to wait, and then grabbing that conviction and putting it into your heart so that you can stand up when people oppose you. Those things will help us ensure that we're not working against God, that we're actually working with him. Because here's the thing, as I started off talking about that, the fact that we can work against God, and technically he already knows, right? From our perspective, we are causing perhaps God to change his direction from our perspective, but he already knew it was going to happen anyway, so it's part of his plan. But if you think about it, the scriptures are plain. The scriptures are clear that God is going to win. It doesn't matter what anyone does. God is going to win. And even if we go in and we throw monkey wrenches everywhere, we do everything wrong, and we thwart his plans here and there and all over the place from our perspective, he's still going to win. The thing is that if we're not working with God, we're working against him. He's still going to win, but it's going to be him winning without us. And there are a lot of people who believe today that it doesn't matter what they do, God's going to win, and so they're going to win with him. And they're just going to be just, you know, go in by his coattails. We're taken in like, you know, a big boat. It's going through, and we're taken in the wake. There is no possible way that we can continue to work against God and think that God's going to continue to bless us. He will win, but it may be without you. So we need to make sure that we're right with him, that we're doing the things that he wants us to do. And that means we continue to grow and learn. I'm thankful that we have a God who knows that we're not perfect. Even though he demands perfection from us because that's his holiness, he has provided a way for us to be forgiven because we have sinned. And when we have sinned against him, he has provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sins, and we can continue to live in the way that God wants us to live. We're not just made freed from sin and given free license to do whatever we want to do. We need to make sure that we're striving for righteousness and holiness. But in doing that, we recognize that we are going from time to time. We're going to make mistakes, and God is there for us through the blood of Jesus to forgive us. If you need help with any of these things, you want to discuss them further, please contact me, hope.preacher@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll see you next time.